This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For you, Lord, have looked with favor on your lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. You, the Almighty, have done great things for me, and holy is your name. You have mercy on those who fear you from generation to generation. You have shown strength with your arm and scattered the proud in their conceit, casting down the mighty from their thrones and lifting up the lowly. You have filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. You have come to the aid of your servant Israel, to remember the promise of mercy, the promise made to our forebears, to Abraham and his children forever." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Well, what a great text we have today. This is my favorite Bible lesson in all of Scripture. And I love how these two women lift one another up in faith. I love how they are just fully supportive of one another. How Elizabeth cares for Mary, even in this very precarious and dangerous situation she finds herself in, of being an unwed mother. I just love how Mary and Elizabeth support and care for each other. This is an incredible, beautiful, just perfect text. And today I want to pay attention to another one of the people present in this text who is usually overlooked: Zechariah. Zechariah is Elizabeth's husband, and he does not say anything in this text because about 6 months prior to this, Zechariah lost his ability to speak. 6 months ago, Zechariah was serving as priest in the temple when an angel of the Lord appeared to him. And Zechariah was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. His first reaction to the angel was terror and fear. The angel told Zechariah that he and his wife Elizabeth would bear a son who would be great in the sight of the Lord and would bring many people to God. And he would make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah's second reaction to the angel was disbelief. Zechariah told the angel in no uncertain terms that his wife was barren, so they could not have children. What the angel had said was impossible. It would not happen. So Zechariah's first reaction to the angel is terror and fear, and his second, disbelief. So the angel replies, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur." Because Zechariah reacts to the angel with terror and fear and disbelief, the angel Gabriel takes away his ability to speak. Now, it may be tempting to assume that this silence is a punishment, but I am not so sure. Because in this silence, Zechariah is given the gift of listening. For the next 9 months, rather than being the one who speaks and is listened to, Zechariah is the one who listens. And my goodness, does he have something to listen to. 6 months into his silence, Mary comes to visit the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And when the two women see each other, John leaps in his mother's womb, and Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And she recognizes immediately that Mary is carrying the Messiah, that she is the mother of the Lord. And Elizabeth tells Mary all of this. Elizabeth speaks this incredible statement of faith. And then Mary speaks, and she gives the first prophetic song in the New Testament. She speaks words of prophecy and of faith that are just world-changing words, universe-changing words about the coming of the Messiah, God on earth with us. And in his silence, Zechariah listens. He listens to these two incredible women speak prophecy and faith. In this listening, God has already lifted up the lowly, just as Mary tells in her song. You see, in Zechariah's day, and frankly in our day today, if you were to compare Zechariah and Mary and have to decide which of these two people should be the authority on faith, you would choose Zechariah. Zechariah is an older man who serves as a priest in the temple. He has religious authority, religious training, religious experience. And not only that, but Zechariah is a descendant of Aaron. Aaron, who was Moses' brother. Aaron, who really starts the entire priestly order. Zechariah has this authority, not just through practice, but through his lineage. He would be considered this religious authority. Mary, on the other hand, is a young, unwed girl who has no authority whatsoever. Between the two of them, Zechariah would be the clear choice of who should be listened to as an authority on faith. And yet, when the angel Gabriel comes to Zechariah, he reacts with terror, fear, and disbelief. And when the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, she is unafraid. She is perplexed and pondering, but she is not disbelieving. And after listening again to Gabriel, Mary believes, and she has such faith that Gabriel's words are true that Mary says, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Mary believes and is unafraid. If there is an authority or a model of faith in this text, it is not Zechariah, it's Mary. And I wonder if that is why Gabriel silences Zechariah, not to punish, but to teach. Zechariah needs a teacher in faith. I mean, he reacts to this angel of the Lord with terror, fear, and disbelief. He needs a teacher. He needs a model of what it is to be believing and unafraid. And he has that in Mary. Zechariah, he needs to listen to and learn from Mary. But without being silenced, would Zechariah have chosen to listen to Mary, to this unwed mother who is barely more than a child herself? I am not so sure. No, I'm not sure that Mary would have been listened to if not for Zechariah's silence. After all, as our scripture lesson tells us, in 3 months, when Elizabeth and Zechariah go to the temple to name their child, the crowds absolutely refuse to listen to Elizabeth. She tells them what the name of their child is, that he will be called John. And the people say, "But that's not a family name. Surely that cannot be correct." They do not listen to her. They do not believe her. And instead, they turn to Zechariah, who cannot even speak. And they say, "But really, what is the name of your child?" And Zechariah writes down, because again, he still cannot speak, that his child is named John. That their child is named John. The crowds do not even believe Elizabeth when she tells them the name of their child. They turn to Zechariah. People don't want to listen to voices like Elizabeth's. They would much rather listen to voices like Zechariah's. The voices of the men in this text, and frankly today too, they drown out the voices of women. But Zechariah, he needed to listen to the voices of the women in his life. He needed to hear Mary's song. He needed to see her example of faith. Zechariah, he absolutely needed to learn from Mary. And in silencing him, the angel Gabriel made that learning possible. No, I don't think Zechariah's silence is a punishment at all. I think his silence is a gift from God. Because in that silence, Zechariah listens to and learns from the voices that are usually drowned out. And having listened to and learned from Mary and Elizabeth, when Zechariah finally gets his voice back, he is no longer terrified, afraid, or disbelieving. On the contrary, in his silence, Zechariah has found courage and belief. In the silence of listening and learning, Zechariah has found his own song to sing. And now he has something to say that is worth listening to. After 9 months of silent listening, Zechariah sings the second prophetic song of the New Testament, singing of the coming of the Messiah and the prophet who will prepare the way for him. It's through the silence of listening that Zechariah learns the song that God calls him to sing. And Zechariah learns this song by listening to people like Mary and Elizabeth. So, siblings, on this last Sunday of Advent, we are called to the silence of listening. We are called to silence our own voices when they might drown out the voices we really need to listen to. We're called to listen to people like Mary and Elizabeth, to their examples of faith, to Mary's prophetic call to justice. In silence, we get to listen. For in the silence of listening, we learn the song that God calls us to sing. And in the silence, if you have one of those voices that is often drowned out by others, you are called to speak with courage and with belief, just like Mary. Because in the silence, it's your time to sing. Amen.